We're wrapping up our sermon series on the glory today. So if you were sick of being in Isaiah, you got one more message, right? But if you're loving Isaiah, we don't have to leave it until next Sunday. So you got one more Sunday in it. And this is about the glory of new life. The glory of new life. And thinking about this, I want to share with you a story after we pray. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the new life you took on for us. You left the side of your Father. You left heaven as we understand it, or what we understand of it, to come here, to enter into our world of darkness and violence and rejection, to overcome all of that by your power, your love, and your word. Help us to hear and receive that word today. We pray this in your name. Amen. So this is the tale of a Christmas wish, okay? And the Christmas wish was for, I think it's number 9, J.J. McCarthy jersey, right? Now, they're pretty expensive, and we're on a budget. And so it was discovered a J.J. McCarthy jersey was available at a lower price, but from somewhere, was it Indonesia? Somewhere over there. Somewhere in Asia, in the Asian continent. And it was kind of a gamble, like, is this a legit thing or is this a scam? Because there are things out there. And so money was sent, the product was ordered, and did we actually order the thing, or did we just give scammers our money and with nothing to show for it? Would the product be delivered? And I'm happy to report, it was not a scam. The J.J. McCarthy number 9 jersey did show up in time to be wrapped and placed under the tree for Christmas. And so the Christmas wish was fulfilled, right? How many of you had some Christmas wishes like that that were fulfilled this Christmas? And maybe you took a chance in order, like maybe it was a scam site, maybe it was legit, who can tell? And you took a gamble. How many of you, well, I won't ask you to like admit if you were scammed or not, but thank you for listening. And that happens with some of the things we shop for, some of the things we wish for, right? There's this thing that we had hope for, right? This thing that we wanted. And sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes maybe you've had some hope for something, a prayer you've prayed to God, and it seemed like he didn't hear, or if he did hear, he told you no. And so when that thing you hoped for, that thing you prayed for, didn't happen or didn't really give you hope, didn't sustain your hope, didn't deliver hope, then maybe you decided, enough of this, I'm done fooling around, I'm going to put my hope in something else, something that I'm going to find, something that makes sense to me, something that I know will work. And you and God both know nothing else works, right? You've tried that before, more than likely. God has been there as you took that walk away from him. And so now what? Now what? If you're finding yourself in a place where you've walked away from God and you're searching for something else in which to place your hope, or you've done that already and you know it doesn't work, now what do you do? It didn't seem like God worked. It doesn't seem like anything else works. Now what? Now God calls you as he's been walking with you this whole time. He's never been far from you, even though sometimes we create that distance between ourselves and God. God is never far from you. And now he speaks to you today. He invites you to listen. Listen to what he speaks, the words spoken to generations spent finding any other way other than God. Any other way other than God and Messiah, God in Christ, God in Jesus. And along the way, there's this voice that keeps speaking, like the voice that shows up in Isaiah 61 and 62 today. It calls to you to listen with new ears, to receive new life that wraps around you, that envelops you and moves you forward. Now, why should you listen to God? Especially if you've tried it before and it didn't seem like he was listening or that it worked. Just this. God delivers on his promises. God delivers on his promises. So how do you get this life? What does it look like? That's what Isaiah 61 and 62 unpack. And so my hope and my prayer is that we walk away learning three things from this last venture into Isaiah. That you get a sense of a new life that's spoken, a new life that's given, and new life that's now. New life that's spoken, new life that's given, and new life that's right now. So let's head back to verse 10 as we hear Isaiah articulate this new life that's been spoken over him. Read this with me, if you will. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Let's go back to that first slide on verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. What do garments of salvation look like? What does it look like to be wrapped in a robe of righteousness? You know, my dad was a pastor growing up, and he would robe every Sunday he would preach, every time he would preach. Other places I've served, I've robed before. But growing up, my idea of the robe of righteousness was kind of like this white robe, like pastors wore back in the day. And now I'm just beginning to wonder, what else could it look like? What else could it be? And I think there's probably variations of that. But the idea is that this salvation and God's righteousness is so real, so tangible, it wraps around you like clothing. Now, I don't know that I've ever noticed or felt salvation like that. But as I look at the clothes that I'm wearing now that wear out and fade, in fact, one of my favorite Christmas gifts this year was a new pair of jeans. But clothes wear out and fade. Shoes wear out and fade. The garments God is bringing you here for this, the things that he's woven specifically for you, the things that he envelops you in that fit just right. These are the garments of salvation, how he saves you, how he brings you his goodness, his righteousness. That's what he wraps around you. And what does that look like? Next slide. Like a bridegroom, so a groom at a wedding, getting decked out like a priest, including a headdress. And I don't know if you have seen the ornateness of priests' headdresses, but they're pretty lofty. They're pretty extravagant, or they can be. And like a bride adorns herself with her jewels, like the things, the intricacy, the beauty, the value, the preciousness, everything that's symbolized by what a groom and a bride wears. All the intricacy, all of it points to the significance of this moment, right? Of this moment of a husband and wife joining together. That's what garments of salvation are like for everybody, whether you're married or single or engaged or whatever. Like, the visual is the bride and groom, but this is an application that is for everyone. Right? And there's something specific about God, what God is doing, something precious about this clothing that he gives. And It's this clothing, this kind of redemption that's thick and real, this garb of redemption that promises you a different life, a new life, a changed life. And with that life comes new growth. And so in verse 10, you hear, and I hope you can see the new life spoken into existence, right? And if you go back into, and we read in an earlier chapter of 61 earlier, but in previous Sundays, and there would be value in going back into 60 and 59, but all of it is God talking. And it's in this part, in this verse 10, where the voice changes. And God isn't talking, but it's those who have been on the receiving end of God's gifts that start talking. And so it's they're speaking about the reality of this word of salvation, this these garments of words and love that God is wrapping around them, and what that's like. And Isaiah describes it here now. And it points to something about new growth, the effect of this clothing, that it does work within you. And that takes us to the next point, new life that's given. So new life, it's spoken, but it's not just spoken. Because something that's promised and never delivers, that's an empty promise. But God's promises are not empty. They produce what he says they will. So he speaks it, and then he gives it. And so in this new life given, we get verse 11. For as earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations, right? So these garments are also planting something. Now, the metaphor is the ground, but the ground is your soul. God is bringing something up from you, up from the ground of your soul. Now, what is in the ground, right? Fertilizer, dead things. But it's from that God brings forth life, something new, growth. And what will he cause to spring up? Righteousness and praise. So the very thing you are wrapped in is the very thing God will bring out of your soul. And with that, you get to articulate, you'll be able to articulate this love you have for God, this zeal you have for God that moves you forward, that compels you to move forward and following him in this world. We talk about a new life spoken that it means that you are living on a promise, right? And then the last point. And this, with a new life given, you are living in a promise, right? When a promise is spoken, you have it. You can kind of count on it. But when a promise is delivered, boy, like that J.J. McCarthy shirt. My son lives in his J.J. McCarthy jersey, right? You are living in the promise of God. You are living in a new life that he's giving you, a new sense of feeling and purpose, right? And so new life given means that you are living in a promise. Now, living in a promise is different than living in or for progress, right? You with me on that? Sometimes we think that we want our lives to be generally improving, getting better and better and better. However, when we look at God's word, scriptures, and when we look at our lives, it seems to be more of a roller coaster than a general incline, right? There's lots of ups and downs, lots of failures and setbacks and successes and victories. And so we ride this trajectory, all these ups and downs, not of the myth of progress, but one of God's promise that through all the ups and downs, through the successes and failures, there will be and there is growth. And how do we know that? When all evidence seems to the contrary, how do we know that I'm actually growing? How do I know that God's word is true, that what he's spoken is actually given? How do I know that? Because you are here this morning. You are the result of God's promise given. I am a result of God's promise given. The fact that Emmaus has been in existence is a result, and only a result of the work of God. Through people that weren't us, and through us, our very selves. The fact that we're here means that God is keeping his promises. We are living in a promise right now. And it's been a year of ups and downs, I can tell you. It's been a year of failures and victories. But in all of the ups and downs and all of the successes and victories is God bringing grace and forgiveness in the face of our old life, wanting to reclaim and tell us that church plants don't work in Ann Arbor, that there are other churches out there that are better, that are maybe a better fit for people, for individuals, for families, that this is a nice thing, but it's not. There's already so many churches in Ann Arbor. Why do we need another one? But it's the new life of God that comes to us through his promise that remind us that new churches reach new people, that there will be people in your lives that won't go to another church. And they may never come to a Sunday morning gathering, but there are other experiences that they would be comfortable to go to. Or maybe they wouldn't do anything at or with Emmaus, but they will invite you to their home. They will invite you to meet them in different places, different occasions, and you get to be the one that is carrying the promise of God into those spaces. That's how we know God's promise is with us now, that we are living in a promise. So this redemption apparel God produces, that produces God's goodness, this redemption apparel that produces God's goodness and worship for him in all the wearers, in failure and forgiveness, that frees you from your old life and me from my old life and causes new life to spring up in us. It's a new life that's forever with God, but it's life, and it's life that outlives death, but it's also new life right now, right here. It's new life right now. And so we go to verse 1 of chapter 62. Read this with me, if you will. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. Let's go back to that first slide. Thank you, brother. So, I will not, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet. What is God, why can't God shut up about? What is it that he cannot keep silent, that he will not keep silent about? His love for Jerusalem. And so over and over and over and over and over again, God pursues his people. He proclaims his love over them, especially when they're down and out, when they've forgotten, when they're seeking out any other way other than him. He continues to make himself known to them and to the world. And so it's a promise God gives his people for the Messiah to come one day, but it's also for them and where they are before exile and in the midst of exile now. Right? Just like for us, we have this promise from God, this gospel that he has given to us, to you. That Jesus came, the whole reason we celebrate Christmas, the whole reason we're gathering on New Year's Eve morning instead of night, is to celebrate what God has done. That he did, just like we talked about with the kids, this nice porcelain Jesus points us to the very real living Jesus that was born in Bethlehem one dark night where there was no room for him, even in a temporary housing. Somebody was talking about this before service. There's a show where they do a Christmas party at their place of work. And one of the characters goes, "Happy birthday, Jesus. Sorry, your party's so lame." Right? Being born at the place where animals feed and rest. Like, that's not a glamorous place to be born. But Jesus took it, and he did it for you. In a very, very real way. And he grew up as a very real person, a very 100% human, and yet 100% God, at a very real time After Bethlehem, it was to Egypt for a bit and then back to Nazareth. And he grew up there as a very real man. And then he died a very real death for you and rose a very real resurrection for you. And so all of these things are not just porcelain pieces that are nice to look at. The porcelain things and the plastic things all point you toward the very real Jesus that declares his promises and love for you. Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises. God keeps his promises. And so when he says, I will be with you, you can believe him. When he promises that your sins are forgiven, you can trust and believe deep in your soul that they are. Even if it doesn't feel like it, even if it doesn't seem like it, even if other people struggle to forgive you, you can know the God who created all the people does forgive you. And you can live now in that forgiveness. See, living new life now means you are living as a promise. And this promise isn't just for you. Jesus did die for you 100%. And he died for the world, which means he died for your neighbors. Those neighbors, colleagues, coworkers, relatives that maybe are a little bit harder to love than others. Maybe it's a little bit harder to relate to them than others. Jesus died for them the same way, the very same way, just as deeply, just as real. Jesus died for them as he did for you. And now he sends you to let them know that. You, God has made you part of his promise to the world. God has made you and I part of his mission to the world. And so now you can know not only that God loves you and he forgives you, he is with you, but you can know that somebody else needs to know that. And God is sending you as part of the way he is fulfilling, he is keeping his promise to the world. There's a author, columnist, writer by the name of Megan O'Giblin. And she wrote a series of essays called compiled in a something called Faith and Doubt. She was doing an interview, and she says this. Now, if you don't know anything about Miss O'Giblin, she grew up in an evangelical church, wandered away from that, but has caught on in her own life and in the lives of people that become atheists or anything else, that the thing that they walked away from, the meaning they had there, they now seek to find in anything else. And she says this, "It seems to me that this is what's happening on a larger scale. As more and more Americans, or humans, leave behind religious faith, instead of becoming purely rational agents, we increasingly displace those religious enthusiasms onto other things. What you thought you were getting from God, and then for some reason that broke for you, or perhaps you broke that off, you now seek that meaning in something else. And God again is coming to you through Isaiah, through his Spirit, through his word today to call you and I back to that, to his promise for you that it is real, that in you and I are part of God delivering that promise into the lives and souls of the people that need it. We get to encourage each other, to build each other up to do this. You are part of the promise God has made to the world, especially to those seeking for life different from the life that they know is void, that they know is dragging them down. Though through his promises, through your relationships, through the Spirit within you, God speaks and gives new life to them and to you. In his name, amen. Pray with me, please. Jesus, thank you for this new life. This reminder that we are not who we were yesterday. We are not defined by our past. We are defined by your promises. God, help us to live in these promises. Help us to be wrapped, to be enveloped by your promises, by your salvation, by the promises you've kept, the promises you've made and are keeping, and the ones we look forward to you fulfilling. Lord, you are a God. We are your people. Provide for us. Lead us forward in faith, hope, and love. We pray this in your name. Amen.